Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to our Sunday service. This morning we're going to be focusing on Acts 2, where Holy Spirit comes and anoints the disciples in the upper room. And it's an exciting chapter because it's really about the beginning of the Christian church after Jesus ascends to heaven. It's about the anointing and power and equipping of the disciples. And it's about how Holy Spirit can totally transform lives and give new beginnings. In Acts 1, Jesus told the disciples, "Wait for the promise of the Father, for which you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." He was very clear that waiting for Holy Spirit was important. We live in a fast-moving, instant society. We've grown to expect things to happen immediately. Even if our computer takes a few extra minutes to load, we can get quite frustrated. And we can get a bit like that with the Lord. We can pray for something, and if it doesn't happen immediately, we can slip into a tendency of losing hope and maybe even give up on praying for it instead of holding on to the promise of God, which says, "Ask and you will receive." Florence shared a joke the other week, which, even though really funny, holds a very valid point. It went something like this. A man asks God, "How long is a minute to him?" And God answers, "A million years." The man then asks for something and God says, "Wait a minute." You see, God's timing is always perfect, and sometimes that means we have to wait. But don't be discouraged. Don't settle for less. Hold on to the promise, because God doesn't do things by half. When Jesus told the disciples to wait, the Bible says he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. It was that important. It was one of the last things Jesus does, is to command them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait. And so they waited. And we read in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all of one accord. Their time spent together, listening to the word of God, learning, praising, praying, encouraging one another, built their love and devotion to God and to one another. They had built a church fellowship of unity, a church which shared and cared for one another, worshipped together, and they were about to be transformed inside and out when Holy Spirit anointed them with power. In Matthew 18, Jesus said, "When two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there with them." So he was definitely there with them when 120 disciples were in that upper room of one accord. Acts 2 verse 2 continues, "There came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house. Then there appeared to them divided tongues like fire, which sat upon each of them." Now, God could have just sent one huge tongue of fire, but the fire divided and Holy Spirit met and anointed them individually. They were united as one church, but each individual in that room loved God, and God loved and touched each of them separately as individuals. He equipped them with different tongues. He equipped them with gifts. When Holy Spirit touched them, there was an inside-out transformation on all those who were there, and it was evidence to all who saw them. I can only imagine the noise and the excitement of the disciples and all those around them. The verse says everyone was hearing them in their own language, and crowds poured together to see them. The disciples were able to preach the good news in the language of all those present, and 3,000 were believed and were baptized. So I can just imagine the noise. So with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the disciples went straight out and did what Jesus commissioned them and all believers to do. Jesus said in John 20, "As the Father sent me, I now send you." Jesus compared the Father sending him out to him sending us out, So with the same authority that the Father sent him, he sends us. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." And that's what they were doing. Incidentally, the word witness literally means someone who says, "I know this to be true." It's something they have seen or experienced. It's their testimony, so nobody can take it away. And that's why it's so crucial for us to spend time with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, get to know him, get to experience him, so it becomes our testimony. And that brings us back to wait on the Holy Spirit. With Holy Spirit, there was no fear, just pure joy and excitement to tell people the good news of Jesus. All they had to do was wait on the Holy Spirit to equip them, and off they went. Didn't matter who they were or what they had been before, or if they had been shy. What mattered was Holy Spirit transformed them, equipped them. He loved them. They didn't have to strive. They were just themselves with the power of Holy Spirit flowing from within them. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. When he comes upon us, we don't want to keep quiet because it's such good news. Verse 38 says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call." Never fails to amaze me that that promise is for us, and we must remember it's for our children too. Thank you, Jesus. When I was writing this, I was led to the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 18, where he stands up against 450 prophets of Baal. Elijah calls on God to send fire from heaven to burn up a bull on an altar, and God answered his prayer. All the prophets were put to death, and then Jezebel sends word that she wants to kill Elijah. So he takes off in fear, and he sits in despair under a tree and tells God he wants to die. He explains that he's no better than his ancestors. And what does God do? He sends an angel, not once, but twice, to cook fresh bread for him. That's how much God cares. Now Elijah had dismissed himself, maybe because he felt that fear was a sin, but God hadn't dismissed him. And today I feel there's someone who needs to hear this. If you feel you've let God down or you've dismissed yourself, God wants you to know he hasn't dismissed you. So rebuke the condemnation of the enemy. So back to the disciples. When they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, they received new life, boldness, excitement, power. They were nothing like their fearful former selves. This was a new beginning. And it was Peter who stepped forward and spoke to the people, telling them what they were seeing and explaining this was the scriptures being fulfilled through Jesus, who was sent by the Father and who performed signs and wonders. This was the same Peter who not long before was so filled with fear that he denied knowing Jesus 3 times. There was a total transformation. There was no fear. Pentecost was the beginning of the church receiving Holy Spirit and running in power with him. But just to make it clear though, this was not the coming into existence of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is eternal, just as Father and Son. He existed from the beginning. But this was special. This was a special outpouring of anointing and power. It was also when Holy Spirit became the significant party in all believers. In Ephesians 1:13, it says, "When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own, giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago." The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. So, receiving Holy Spirit as a believer is part and parcel of Christianity. Jesus himself told Nicodemus in 2 Corinthians 5 that one must be born again of water and of spirit, or he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So when Holy Spirit comes and anoints afresh, we can expect power, the power of God working in us and through us, breaking chains, bringing truth, bringing freedom, and healing. He's also our source of guidance. He gives us words to speak when we don't know what to say. He gives us insight and knowledge. He enables us to prophesy. He gives us wisdom. He's our source of courage. He's our comforter. And he is our joy and peace regardless of our circumstances. He is the Spirit of God. Acts 5 says, he is given to those who obey God. The early church was a Holy Spirit-filled church. They understood the power and authority given to them. And because of that, signs and wonders were commonplace. They walked in the footsteps of Jesus, preaching the good news, bringing hope of salvation and the love of Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And we are the church today. We have the same commission. We have the same Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit may not come in tongues of fire every time, but he will come because it's the Father's promise to all believers, and Jesus himself reminded us of that. I have to share this story with you, and I really hope I get this out without crying, because it's brought me to tears nearly every time I've read it, so I hope I get this out. Okay, so there was an Iraqi family with a child. They had never heard of Jesus. They were crossing in a dinghy at night during rough weather. They were trying to get to Greece. They were refugees. The child fell out of the boat into the sea. The people in the boat were desperately calling out to her, but they couldn't see her. It was too dark and the waves were high. The parents called out to God. And when they turned around, the child was in the boat again with them, behind them. They said to her, what happened? All she could say and all she kept repeating was, the man in white who was walking on the water took my hand, lifted me out of the water and put me back in the boat. And that's all she kept saying. Oh, sorry, I'm getting emotional again listening to that. The boat reached Greece, and there sitting on a beach was a Christian missionary. He was sitting by a fire. He asked the refugees if he could read them a story while they warmed themselves. He'd never done this before. He began reading the story of Jesus walking on the water and reaching out to take Peter's hand when Peter started to sink in the water. When the missionary turned, the parents were crying, and they asked him, who is this man who walks on water? And the man was able to tell them. The missionary was just doing something very simple, reading a story by the fire, reading a Bible story. What we think sometimes is not important is all part of God's plan. If you want to see more stories like that, like this, you can watch it on a documentary called Jesus in Athens. When I read that story, when I saw that story, I'm reminded of a scripture in Romans 10, which says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. You see, Jesus is alive. How God, Jehovah, lives. We've not been left alone. Holy Spirit is here, now, today. In Mark 8:25, Jesus prayed for a blind man, and he asked him, what do you see? The man replied, I see men but they looked like trees walking around. So Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. This time, his eyes were opened and he could see clearly. Now, why am I saying that story? Well, my point is, Jesus doesn't just touch us once, neither does Holy Spirit. He will do it again and again and again. So don't think you've had your chance but missed it. I encourage you to make time. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Praise, pray, and wait in expectancy. Invite Holy Spirit to come, fill you afresh, empower you afresh, or even for the first time if you've never experienced him before. Jesus told us, ask and you will receive. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. It's part and parcel of being a Christian. So let's be bold. Come before the throne of God and ask. You're only asking for the promise that the Father has told you you can have. So receive him in Jesus' name. Please close your eyes, bow your head, and ask Holy Spirit to come into your life again. Let's pray. Jesus, we just ask you again. Holy Spirit, we just ask you again. Just fill us again, Lord. Fill us afresh. Empower us. Enlighten us. Father, we want to do what you commissioned us to do. We want to see your signs and wonders, Lord. We want to see our friends and family and neighbours saved. We want to know them come to know you. We want to know them experience you, Holy Spirit. We want tongues of fire. So, Lord, we just come today again and we say, fill us afresh. In Jesus' name.